Ladies and gentlemen, we are approaching our station at the entrance to Main Street, USA, gateway to the seven theme lands of the Magic Kingdom. Please stand clear of the doors.
Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Dreams. My name is Jordan. That's Dr. Seeker right there. Jack Seeker. How are you today, Jack?
Doing good. I told you I had a prop ready, and I found this when I was cleaning out.
I thought maybe you bought it while you were down there.
No, it's it has the Dinoland branding on it and everything right there. My sister, I think, bought this a few years ago.
Nice.
So just have had that sitting around, so. Might as well use it for what might have been both of our last times seeing this in a pre-show.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe. It depends on when you're able to go again. I'm assuming they're going to do waves of stuff. I can't see them shutting down all of that stuff. I think the easy, not to jump right into it, but I think like the easy thing to do is just, like, keep Dino open, because you do have a path to Dino from Boneyard without needing to go around the other way. And then just start work on Chester Hester area.
Yeah. I mean, it's very possible, but...
But yeah, I soaked it we'll in. I wrote it, I was like, this is your last time, Jordan. Just in case if that isn't... just in case if it is my last time.
Yep. And for those of you who couldn't already guess by that, Jordan and I, between last episode and this, both had a trip that involved going to Disney World for a little bit of time, not a long trip by any means. I think we were both there for about 2 total days, one day each in the parks. But I think we both did all 4 parks in one day. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but my feet felt that real hard.
We did not go as hard as you.
You didn't spend 17 hours in the parks? What? No way.
I mean, I don't know how long we went. We went from... We got there a little after opening, so 9 o'clock to midnight we were at the parks.
Okay, so yeah. I mean, you had 15.
But what we stopped a lot. Like, you know, my wife, for people that don't know, is pregnant, so it was very slow. Like, we didn't do a lot when it comes to, like, I'll read off what we did later, but which I think is impressive for what we were doing. But it wasn't like going hard into it that day, just because we would take breaks, we'd sit somewhere, we would take modes of transportation I wouldn't usually take. I would usually maybe walk, but because of that, be like, oh well, you know, like, example, we took the boat from the one end of World Showcase to the other, back to the front, which I never usually do. Usually just like, I'll loop this thing if I need to, but I knew that would take longer, so we were like, oh, we'll just get in the boat here and get back to the front and then do, like, Spaceship Earth and the Moana thing and get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, my family, you know, we did one day. Tickets are expensive over spring break, believe it or not. And so we started at 7:15 was when we got into Magic Kingdom. They let us start getting into lines at 7:15. And then from there, we actually ended in Magic Kingdom, my dad and I, by that point, because my mom, brother, and sister had all gone back to the hotel at various points. But yeah, ended in Magic Kingdom around just around 11:50. The park closed at 11, but all of Main Street's open. So ended with an ice cream sundae from the Main Street ice cream parlor. So full day of stuff. I think total walking was 17 miles and around 32,000 wow. steps. So, and also taking a lot of transportation that I am not usually a big fan of, but you know what? I was a man on a mission. And so I hate the Skyliner, but I took it anyway.
Yeah, we didn't take that this trip. Let's see. Can I find it? Can I go back? How far can I go back on these steps on my iPhone?
Are you using like the health app or the yeah. fitness app? Or the health app, I think you can go back like multiple weeks. I think. I kind of hope so. So I can see.
Oh, mine, I see. But I see a day where we walked a lot. Okay, yeah, it was our day in the park. 28,517 steps for me.
28,000. That sounds like a day in the parks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if from this, I'm not sure if it'll show up super well. If you can tell by this, it's not gonna. Oh yeah, there. The nope, trend line. Which day we were yeah. in the parks.
That's kind of what I just looked at for mine. It was like, okay, look back a month, and then it was like the largest spike. I'm like, all right, that's the day I was in the park.
Yep, there it is. That's how you can tell.
But no, I am still kind of like sore. Like, you know, I walked a lot, and then I walked a lot the week I came back. But then since then, it's been a lot of rain and cold weather here. I haven't really walked a lot. So still kind of feeling the effects of it. Yeah, this long after. I'm trying to find like my list of what we did today, what we did that day, not today. But we did see, so we started at Animal Kingdom, and I think that's the way to actually go. If you are doing four parks in one day, because I feel like it's the furthest one out of the way, get it done first is kind of my, it's kind of my thought here. So we started with that. My wife went to Starbucks to get like a coffee and a, you know, drink. I mean, that is a drink. I mean, coffee and a breakfast
like a
type
pastry,
food.
Yeah.
She got some sort of sandwich or something. I booked it over to Dinosaur, Road Dinosaur. And then we did the games. We actually played the games. We rigged it for us to win. We each just bought one ticket. We went over to Wacky Packy Cephalosaur, which is the whack-a-mole game. And the person started it when it was just us two because nobody else was around. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday. Yeah. Nobody's at the games. All right. So we quickly played. Joy's like, I don't want to play. I'm like, no, this guarantees a prize. And that was the whole reason I wanted to play. Was to guarantee
a
prize.
You might as well.
Yeah. So we did I got one of the prizes finally, because the reason why I want one of these prizes, they've changed them since I worked there, where they were like cheap dollar store things. And now they're like, they actually have like Dino-Rama on it, or they have some sort of like, oh, this is a Disney plush type thing. So that was good. We won that. I got my picture in front of the place with the holding up the stuffed animal. It was a great time. Then we looked at the animals until around 12, like went through Gorilla Falls, all that kind of stuff. Bus to Hollywood. I rode Star Tours twice. We also got lunch at Backlot Express. And I walked through Galaxy's Edge, which wasn't the original plan, but my wife needed a break. And I was like, all right, I'll go just like walk through Galaxy's Edge. I took videos and like pictures and sent them to my friends Ron and Chris, who haven't been to Galaxy's Edge, and they wanted to see photos. So I was like, okay, I'll just go do this. And that was all we did at Hollywood. Star Tours twice. Lunch, walking through Galaxy's Edge. I looked to see if Mando was out or anything. He wasn't. Then we left Hollywood via boat to Epcot. So that was another little break there instead of walking. Or else I could have got way over 30,000 steps if I had walked from Hollywood to Epcot. We did three Caballeros. That's where we started, like, you know, because that enters you through France. We took a left, went to Mexico, did three Caballeros, went to Germany, and she got, what was it, potato pancakes? That's what she got for the flower and garden stuff. And then she also got, like, some cheese pastry thing.
A cheese Danish, probably?
Yes.
Some sort? Or a strudel, maybe.
It was the strudel, yeah. Warm strudel.
Yeah, okay.
I got the big-ass Bavarian pretzel that's right there. And, man, that was so good. I love pretzels. I've been on a pretzel kick since I went up to do the Philly-Seattle game. And in the press box, they had free pretzels. I ate five of those during the delay. Five huge pretzels.
Hey, what else are you going to do? What else are you going to do?
So then I'm going down to Disney. I'm like, oh, I'll get a Mickey pretzel. And then I got that earlier in the day at Animal Kingdom. And then I got the Bavarian pretzel at Germany. We went to, she got some sort of pasta thing over in Italy. I walked over to Italy, got her that and a peanut butter filled cannoli.
Cannoli, right?
Yeah. Which was good. I tried some of it. And then we sat in the benches between Germany and Italy for us to eat that stuff. And then that's where we took the boat back to the front, did Spaceship Earth, Journey of Water, which made my wife cry in a good way. She's hormonal right now, right? But it was, I don't know why. She would just keep saying, like, I don't know why this is making me so, like, happy cry. I'm like, I don't know. It's just the cycle of water. But, you know, it was really moving for her. So maybe your mileage may vary on that one. We left via monorail to Magic Kingdom, ate at Cosmic Rays, did Haunted Mansion, got my ice cream cookie sandwich, and then did Pirates, and we left.
Nice. Funnily enough, we basically did the exact opposite order.
Yeah, because you went to Magic twice too, right?
Yeah, so I mean, it was bookended by Magic, but we started in Magic Kingdom because, one, staying at Grand Floridian, so easiest park to get to right away, and it had early hours starting at 7:30. So that made it a pretty easy choice, you know, got on the monorail for one stop, got into Magic Kingdom right away. Originally, we're going to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train because my brother really likes that. I'm not a huge fan of it personally, but we got there. The line already was 95 minutes.
Wow.
So we were like, maybe not. And so we were going to try and go through Liberty Square to get to Frontierland for Big Thunder Mountain, only to find out that doesn't open until 8. So only Fantasyland, Tomorrowland are open.
What?
For that.
Really?
I had no idea. So we turned around, went on Space Mountain, and had, like, I think a 10-minute wait for Space Mountain. And then after that, went on Buzz Lightyear, you know, pretty short line. It's a fun little thing. It needs to be updated, though, I'll tell you that. Those animatronics in there are rough. And also it's tough to feel like where you're shooting. But after that, cross the park over to Big Thunder Mountain. Of course, before we had gotten there, we requested a virtual queue for Guardians, Cosmic Rewind. And that got called while we were in the line right about to board Big Thunder Mountain. So we rode on that, hightailed it out of the park, got on the monorail, literally perfect timing with the monorail. We walked up the Epcot ramp right as it was rolling up, got in there, and then went over to Epcot, got into Guardians Cosmic Rewind with literally a minute to spare.
I was worried for you. You know, you were very, oh, we got plenty of time. And I'm like, ooh. And it really just takes that one detour from your parents okay. to be like, actually. Yeah.
Right before, like, we got there, they're like, we need to go to the bathroom. And I was like, God, okay.
You're like, you're going to the bathroom on the ride. How about that? We're getting in line.
So we did that quick, made it into there. I think they, like, some cast members also give, like, a 5-minute buffer zone sometimes.
Yeah, they do. I was just worried.
Didn't want to rely on that.
I was worried, course, yes, with the Easter, with it being Easter, I was worried that it would be like, actually, you missed your chance because we got a million people trying to do
so
this.
We scanned in just in time, got on Cosmic Rewind, got a new song, so I've now heard half of the tracks. September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Definitely, I see why people like that one a lot. It's second still because Disco Inferno does exist, and that's one of my favorite songs, like, ever. So that has to go first. September is a good one, though. After that, my family, or most of my family, brother, sister, and mom, wanted Starbucks, so they went to Starbucks. And I went on Spaceship Earth, which was one of the longest waits of the day at 30 minutes for reason. But it's like one of my favorite rides at Disney World. So I had to get in on that and ride it. And then after that, went on Test Track Single Rider, which, as we'll discuss a little bit later in this, glad I did, because turns out that is the last time I'll get to ride that version of Test Track.
Yeah,
to my disappointment and to your joy. and then after that, had to go over to Soarin', do Soarin', because it's a great ride. Had a short enough wait. It was only about 20 minutes, so not too bad. And then did Journey of Water, went up towards World Showcase, because I wanted the honey chicken and waffles that I talked about on last episode. I'd like to report, it was very good. I also, as I was walking by Refreshment Port, where I usually get poutine, they had a frozen mojito, which really caught my eye. And so I had to get that as well. It was good, until we left out by the France Pavilion to get on the Skyliner to Hollywood Studios. I was stopped before I could get out, saying, you have to finish the drink. I still had about a quarter of this left. So I chugged a frozen mojito, which was... it's not the ideal way to consume a mojito.
You hand it to them and say, no, you finish this drink, and you just leave.
it was $13 for that little drink, so I was not giving away that money. It was good, though. Went on the Skyliner. I hate the Skyliner, but it's the fastest way to get to Hollywood Studios. It took like 12 minutes, so faster than the boat. Took that, got to Hollywood
Studios. You can
walk it,
though. You can walk it faster than that, can't you?
Yes, but also, I mean, maybe faster, but...
Maybe not after chugging a mojito, I guess, but you could.
Yeah.
You could walk.
And also, got to conserve energy, you know? This was only about, like, at 1 p.m., you know? We still had 11 hours to go, at least I did. I needed to be smart with the energy. So, did that. Right away at Hollywood Studios, went to Toy Story Mania. Waited only about 25 minutes for that. Then went to Minnie and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which was really annoying because they were letting in about like probably 100 Lightning Lane people and 2 families from the regular queue because something got backed up at Hollywood Studios.
Well, that's just the issue with Lightning Lane in general and Fast Pass.
Yeah.
It is
without either
of those, this thing, these rides move so much faster.
Yeah, I think 3 attractions, like major attractions, had broken down throughout the day. So lots of people had Lightning Lanes that they could probably use anywhere and used it there. And also the pre-show broke.
Did it break? So that was my question. Did it break or were they just having it open so that way people, like, it kept moving?
Maybe it was so it kept moving, but they also just said over the announcements, like, so, unfortunately, the pre-show, or, like, they use the, you know...
Oh, okay, so if they said that, then yeah. I just thought maybe they were, like, they, like, opened up that door and are like, nope, we're just getting you through here. Because they do that
you
sometimes.
You just walk straight through into the cartoon world.
Like, I wrote Dinosaur before where they're, like, they just have you, like, go through and don't even see the pre-show. They're like, keep going. And I'm like, this is weird. We don't even know why we're traveling back in time.
Yeah. So, you know, got to ride that really quickly. Or not quickly. We waited for like 50 minutes for that. And then went on
the ride Tower is of quick. Terror.
Yes. Tower of Terror was next. So went all the way over there. And then I wanted to do Star Tours. Tower of Terror had just reopened after being down, after we had gotten off of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is why we went straight over there. My dad and I rode Star Tours because I like it. The rest of my family does not. They rode Tower of Terror another time. So we both got to do some rides and then headed back to the front of the park and to go to Animal Kingdom. And Animal Kingdom, we split up right away to get dinner. And I got my favorite snack in all of Disney World for potentially the last time, because who knows if it'll be there the next time I'm there. The Buffalo Chicken Chips from Trilobites. So good. They taste so good. It's like a full meal. The rest of my family all went to Satouli Canteen because they're huge fans of the cheeseburger pods there. Got that. And then I went on Dinosaur because no one else wanted to. Also, very weird experience because you know how there's usually like a little bit of a line, right? Like there, you'll get like a little bit in like the exhibit area and you'll get a little bit in like the loading platform area.
Yeah.
We get into there. They don't close the pre-show doors. They just keep it open, let people file in as the pre-show's going. My dad and I were riding this. We go to the doors, right, to be ready to get a good position in that line. It opens. There is legitimately no one there. No one is waiting at the loading area. It's just empty. We the definition of a walk-on. We walked in, literally walked straight into a vehicle, and we're off.
That's how mine was.
It was, I mean, it makes sense why they're going with the re-theme, because I feel like that's been a common theme for Dinosaur lately. It hasn't been attracting as many people in.
Well, the thing, from what I've read, the reason why, like, this ride will usually in peak times get packed to the 45-minute wait range. But yeah. Apparently it has really good capacity that it is able to,
I mean, it does, yeah.
Move through these lines pretty well. The only good thing about the re-theme right now is that I guess they'll actually have to do work on the animatronics because they've just kind of, yeah. Like the Aliaramus doesn't even lift his head up with the other dinosaur in his mouth.
Right.
He just stays like this the whole time.
Yeah. There's like a head nod, like at a concert, you know, like,
yeah.
And once again, ever since you pointed it out, I can't unhear it. The re-chopped.
Yeah. Why? Audio, why did they do that to match the actual movement? Just have him be wrong about which way he's going. That would fit.
I mean, he's
Sneaker.
Viewing you through time. He's right. Viewing you through time.
There's like, a bit of a delay.
I can't unhear it now. So every time I'm like, oh, there it is. And
left.
Then,
it's like left, right,
right,
left, right.
Yeah. And then went to Expedition Everest, the single rider line. The rest of my family was finishing eating up. So my dad and I went in the single rider line two times before they got there. And then went in it with almost all my family, besides my mom, who was checking us in for a flight. All of us went in there for a third time. And then everyone went through the main line because it was 5 minutes at that point. We're talking, it's like 7:30, 7:40 p.m. when we're going through this. So I got to ride Everest four times in a row, which was great. I got to ride in row 2, row 17, row 9, and row 12. So just all over. Perfect.
Which is the best?
I much prefer the back. It's so much, it's so much more wild. That's my preference. And then after that, my mom decided to go back to the hotel. She was tired. And then the rest of my family went to Flight of Passage because, you know, if you're in the line before the park closes, they'll let you through. We were quite literally the last ride of Flight of Passage that night.
Yeah,
we could
Jack's
see
one
the
of
end
those
of the line.
Guys.
You said you would do the same thing. I've got receipts here. I'm not afraid
I would.
To publish
no,
them.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I would. Look, it worked here too. It's like, I understand if people are like, you know, it's their job. They're like, oh, like great. I have to stay a little later or whatever.
Yeah.
But as somebody that did it, and while I worked there, would do the same thing to people. Like I would do the same thing to people, as you know. I never really got upset like that when I worked at Disney the way I would at you know, where I worked somewhere else. I'm like, really? Right before it closed? Like, at Disney, it's like, this is their vacation. I usually would be totally fine with, like, when I worked Sleepy Hollow, people come up right before we close. You're like, yeah, like, I can't even start my pre-close, really, until we close anyway, so... You know, let's we would do like pre-close things where maybe we'd have like one fryer open, one waffle maker open. So it's easier to clean up when you have like 5 minutes left. But it's like it is what it is. I've been in that. I've been on both ends where I'm like trying to rush to someplace before they close. And it's like you're technically open, you know, you have to like I'm following the rules. I'm still here before you're closed. And you know, I don't blame anybody to do that.
Yeah, and we weren't like the last people to get in line. So
yeah,
you know,
F those guys.
And yeah, and if and if they so we got in, got through it at about like got done at around 9. So we got to see Pandora at night, which looks so cool, and it's an absolute crime that Animal Kingdom closes at 8, so we can't see that as much. I know it's for the animal's sake, but just close Kilimanjaro, close Rafiki's Planet Watch, you know, close those areas and then just leave the other parts, you know, it could be cool. So lots of fun with that. And then had to get over to Magic Kingdom because we did the paid lightning lane for Tron, just because can't request the virtual queue without being in the park for the second one. And just wanted to ride it because, and why not? Who, like, you know, probably won't be able to go back to Disney for at least another year. So
how was it? I didn't get a chance to ride. I was like, I'm not paying $16 for this.
That's fair. It was $20 for us.
Okay, I definitely wasn't paying $20.
I mean, it's a fun ride. It can be very uncomfortable. I will say, because of the way you sit on the vehicles. I was in a little bit of pain after that because I did not sit in a very comfortable way to start with. So that's my own fault, but it's a cool ride. I like it. It's a very, like, the inside is very cool. But yeah, probably not going to pay $20 for it again.
I didn't get a chance to like even walk over and see like any of that stuff like I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really cool at night. I will say, like, it definitely, like, the aesthetics alone are very nice. But after that, my brother and sister left, and my dad stuck around with me to go on two of my favorite dark rides at the end, Pirates of the Caribbean and Haunted Mansion. Literally for Haunted Mansion, we got in there, so I kind of did it twice, at 10:50, so 10 minutes before close. We walk up to the stretching room. There is, like, it opens. We are the only two people there. And so we walk in, two other people will come in and join after that. You know, it goes through the pre-show. The cast member in there was great. He was, like, walking around the room, like, as the stretching room was happening. And then when the lights went out and everything, he went around to, like, be behind us. And then when the lights came back on, he was just there. And gave the other set of people in there a little bit of a scream. got a little bit of a rise out of them. So great cast member, that guy. And went on that. And then, like I said, ended with the ice cream parlor. Got a brownie sundae from there. So long day. Worth it. Got to make that money worth it. Spending all of that plus the lightning lane. Had a lot of fun, though.
Good. Yeah, it was a good trip to be able to get, originally our plan was three parks, be able to get all four, get Star Tours before the re-theme of that, like the added stuff. Sucks that I couldn't see the new stuff because they have all this new merch for it apparently now. Like, would have been great, but oh well. I guess we can dive into the news here because we got some good news. Disney wins Disney Wars Part 2, the sequel, as the board won all of their election seats against Nelson Peltz and Rosulio. And, you know, Peltz, if you look up his history, he hasn't been good for any of the companies he's worked for. And he got slaughtered. he got like 30% of the vote, which I guess is... people say is a victory for him, but No, it is the worst he's ever lost a board election.
Yeah. And Rizzullo lost, like, I think 5-1, I think.
I saw 5-1 and 7-1. I've seen both. Yeah. So either one is awful. So.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people are looking for, like, new stuff after they've been disappointed with some of the perceived direction. I don't place that entirely on the leadership. There's a lot of other things that are going on. There's this lawsuit between with Florida, right? That
settled
like that. Yeah, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but like there was that lawsuit that prevented a lot of construction from happening. COVID prevented a lot of projects from going through as they were originally intended.
Canceled a bunch.
Yes. Yeah. And like, yes, there are some questionable decisions, but I also think that a lot of things that they've been doing are better than any direction Peltz would have taken it, especially with his comments about like how, you know, about forced diversity in movies. That's not someone I want leading Disney.
Like, he sounds so out of touch too. It's like, why do I have to have a Marvel with all women? Why do I have to have a Marvel with all black people? It's like,
yeah, like
you're calling them a Marvel. You don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Like, just stop.
Right. Like it would have been really bad, I feel. And I know some people are like, well, Disney should stop focusing on that. And it's like, what do you like focusing on creating stories for a diversity of audiences and appealing to a larger consumer base? Why?
That's the thing. Like, it makes sense to do this because you're appealing to everyone in that regard.
Yeah.
You have white people in the cast. You have black people in the cast. You have Asians in the cast. Like it opens up.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, they're doing the thing that creates probably more profit for them because they're bringing in new voices and new people who wouldn't otherwise experience these things. What a stupid
Black Panther
decision.
Was huge.
That
is part of the reason why Endgame and Infinity War made more money is because they were able to rope in people that saw Captain Marvel, people that saw Black Panther. It worked both ways. Like, those movies were huge because of Marvel, but it also tapped into demographics that they didn't have previously.
Right. So I'm glad with the results, and it looks like based off of those results, I think they were holding off on a lot of big things so as to not give, you know, potential competitors ideas for things. So they had a lot of big announcements this past week, like a lot.
Well, you know what's funny is I understand if people are upset with Disney management and want changes. And if you're like, they're not putting money into the parks. This guy was never going to do that. He can say he's going to do that, but all of his prior history is he comes in, he slashes spending. He would be like Zaslav coming in. All right. And what helped Disney too is that Disney had started seeing an uptick in their stocks before the election. So they were able to point to stuff and say, we're actually rebounding. We don't need this guy to come in and make changes. Like, they're going to be streaming profitable at the end of this year is their goal. And that was the biggest thing on what tanked their stock to begin with, right? Like, I've talked about a million times. At one point, Wall Street switched up on people. And they switched up on people when Netflix went through a loss at one point because they were like, oh no, this isn't profitable. But like when Disney announced streaming, their goal was always this year or next year to be fully streaming profitable by the end of it. And Wall Street was like, sounds great. Your stocks are soaring. And then once Netflix went through their turmoil, they were like, actually, all of this is terrible. Your stocks are down. And it's just all made up numbers of how people are reacting. It's all BS.
That's all stock prices are. It's not like it is real money in the sense like to invest in it, you need real money. But it's just a measure of confidence inflated by, you know, analysts who are viewing these things from, you know, a very, I feel like too small of a lens at times.
And this I would never take my company public if I had a company. Never. Yeah. Because you just become beholden to the shareholders and stockholders that are just always like, great. So what's your next thing that's going to get $1 billion? And you're like, but we just had like, everybody's acting like Disney's in turmoil. The MCU has had like $30 billion that it's made. It's like, okay, so that wasn't enough. So now we got to keep doing that. You just have to keep escalating it. And as you keep escalating it, your returns go down anyway because you're putting more money into it. And there's only so much people can digest, or, you know, like, purchase power that we have as people, that we have to pick and choose who we're spending it on. And it just becomes like this, and it's in every facet of a company that is public. And it drives me nuts that you can have a really good quarter or something, and then it's like, well, okay, what's next though? Like, we need to know what's next. And it's kind of that mentality is seeped into the fans' mentality, where they're like, what is Disney even doing to compete with Epic Universe? And you're like, well, they've opened up a lot, like maybe on a slower time frame than you would want, but they have, and they're about to build some more stuff. And they're like, no, but I need to know what's next. And same thing with like leakers, how they're always like, all right, what's next after Secret Wars? It's like, we haven't even started filming that. Why do you need to know what's after that? Like, why can't
that's
we 20, just...
That's 2027. Like,
yeah. It just seeps into all aspects of the of everything nowadays. It's like, great. It's like, not even what have you done for me lately? It's what are you going to do for me 5 years from now? I need to know. And it's just absolutely mind-blowing how this has permeated the fan culture and social media culture as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think I talked to you about it, how, like, you know, looking decade by decade, and this whole, like, idea of going into the parks, like, people are like, oh, Epic Universe is coming, what's Disney's response? And it's like, why are you so certain that Epic Universe isn't a response to all the stuff Disney has done to build in more capacity, like Galaxy's Edge, Toy Story Land, you know, I mean, New Fantasyland, maybe a lot shorter, but Pandora, right? Why are, like, that's the thing about this. Examining it from such a short time frame gives you the wrong idea. It's not, it, like, obviously there's going to be a response, but also they don't need it immediately because, one, the park's not even open yet.
Yeah, opens the park, next year.
The park opens next year. We have no idea if, like, yes, we think all that construction is going to be done. What if it's not? What if it gets delayed? What if the rides don't operate at the same level as they want them to, and there's problems on the first day? Disney's going to be smart about it. They need to see what the actual response is going to be to a certain extent. Like, they're going to announce some things before that, but, and then, you know, just everything is a response to something else. Like, you can keep going back, right?
You could say that this is a response to just having a third park. Like, they don't have a third park. They've been planning this since apparently... Here's the thing. Bob Iger said they've known this for 10 years. So obviously, Universal's been planning this for more than 10 years. In fact, I think some of the stuff goes back to the late 90s of them having plans for another park and getting that land that they have the park at now. And it's like, okay, so that obviously wasn't a reaction to whatever Disney did. It was just them saying, we want to be, they want to be a park like Disney where you can spend a whole week there and not like, oh, we'll do our 2 days at uni and then we'll do our 5 days at Disney. And that's right. What they're trying to gain. Disney still has the lead in attendance, in revenue. Like, they still have the lead. That I think it's foolish to be like, oh, they need to respond.
Yeah.
They will make stuff because they need to make stuff for their own parks.
Right. But, and I remember there being like clickbaity titles like last year where it's like Universal surpasses Disney for attendance. And it's like Universal Orlando surpassed Epcot Magic or Epcot Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom in attendance. And Islands of Adventure surpassed, I think it was Epcot and Animal Kingdom. But guess what? Magic Kingdom still brought in double what Universal or Universal
Studios. That is Disney World. Did. That is the one, like, people think of when they go to Disney.
Because it's a multiple day park. And like you said, like, the thing is, like, all of that's the only multiple day park, I would say, like, realistically right now, that you can't realistically do everything in one day. In, like, you could do everything you wanted to in one day at Hollywood Studios, at Epcot, at Animal Kingdom, and at Universal Orlando, and at Islands of Adventure. You can do all of that, in, like, each of those in one day. Magic Kingdom, you can't. It's, like, you could try. It's not going to be possible. with all the rides there and all the experiences. So yeah, it's just their own internal numbers saying, yeah, we want to compete more. I feel like pitting these two against each other is ridiculous, but that's getting a little bit off topic from what the episode's about. I just think it's ridiculous because it misunderstands just a lot.
Like you said, anything can be a response to anything. Like, because I remember when Harry Potter opened up, people are like, oh, what's Disney's answer to that? And they were thinking like, it has to be Star Wars. And that's why Disney did buy Star Wars, we think, anyway. But then their real answer to that was Pandora, because that opened first, you know? Yeah, and then Galaxy's Edge would open later because it's a reaction to, I guess, Diagon Alley, right? Like, you can just go back and forth of what is what.
And New Fantasyland opens like 2 years after Hogsmeade, Hogwarts area, right? So, the thing is, no one knows what's a response to anything or what was pre-planned, right? The only people who know are the people involved making these decisions at Disney. Everyone else, armchair executives, if you will, armchair Imagineers, perhaps.
The worst type of Imagineers.
Yeah. No one knows. We don't know. Stop trying to overanalyze and saying like, oh, there's the response that we were looking for. It could have just been planned for many years. And it just happens to, you know, the most famous phrase in statistics, correlation does not equal causation. Just because something opens after something else doesn't mean it was as, like, because of something else. Like,
and here's the thing, too.
It's annoying. It's
very
annoying.
While they are competitors, most people that go for their first time go to both of these places. So they're not actually losing, market share.
They probably benefit by both building more.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Then they both get more people and more first-time visitors going there and staying for longer. So,
like, I want to go back. I haven't been to Universal in close to probably 10 years, except for Hollywood Studios. Universal Hollywood when I went last year. But
I think same. I think the last time I went was 2015, 2016. So
I think mine was like 15, I want to go back to ride like Hagrid's. I want to do, you know, other stuff, but, you know, I've counted all of their attractions on their two maps and they have less attractions than Magic Kingdom. And that's the thing is like, and I hate how much they use screens and they kind of do the same thing Disney does now where it's like, here's our themed land that has one ride or two rides. And you're like, all right, like you didn't really add that much to this.
But yeah, we could do a whole episode on this, but that's a similar thing with Epic Universe, I feel like. But regardless,
Disney,
let's move on.
Yeah, Disney shared their first look at Tiana animatronics for the Bayou Adventure in a new Imagineering video, which is a new series that they're going to put out on YouTube called something. Imagineering something. That's not the actual name. I just forget the name on the top of my head. But really interesting. These animatronics look fantastic, of course.
Truly groundbreaking, like, honestly.
Yeah. This has got to be the best animatronics we've seen, aside from maybe the shaman in Rivers of...
Right.
Not Rivers of Light.
Navi River Journey.
Navi River Journey.
But, like, in terms of, at least in U.S.-based parks, like, I would say there are plenty of overseas parks that have gotten, like, the Beauty and the Beast ride.
The Beauty and the Beast ride looks great. I know. My sister is a huge Beauty and the Beast fan, and she's so upset that they don't have it over here.
Yeah, so though I think these are similar-based animatronics. And the series is called We Call It Imagineering.
Yes.
And these figures look absolutely incredible. Like, the movement, you know, you've got Lewis the alligator who's got a specific actuator for, like, to make his belly look like it's jiggling with like laughing of joy, like that's and like just the costume.
Is it Louis
or it's Louis, right? It's like New Orleans,
Louis Armstrong,
like,
right?
Like, yeah, like yeah, right. I keep wanting to. It's Louis. That's right. But
I wanted to be sure. I've only watched it once, and it was a while ago. So I was like, wait, am I saying it wrong? Or
no, I was. But it looks they look incredible. Some people have been like saying like, well, they don't all perfectly move, and like Some animatronics don't have moving mouths. And it's like, okay, Splash Mountain people, save Splash Mountain people. Your ride's gone. Just calm down. Be like, give credit where credit's due. These look awesome. Like, just super advanced technology. And I can't wait for this ride to open. I'm a little sad that, you know, wasn't open in March. That would have been super nice for both of us, I feel like. But it's going to be like probably, I would say instantly, like one of the best attractions at the parks because of just these animatronics alone, knowing the ride track, knowing like the like seeing like some of the sounds that they've been going for and everything. I feel like this is going to be incredible.
Yeah, that's, you know, like, no secret, I like Splash Mountain, but at a certain point, like you said, it's gone. They're not going to re-add it back. It's gone. And for what we're getting, it looks so much better than I imagined it looking when it comes to even the outside of it. You know, originally I thought like, oh, I want the boat on there that they showed in the first concept art. And then, of course, there's the rumors that were like insiders who had said that this was originally going to be a very basic screen-based, very like cheaply made re-theme that I'm glad that apparently that's because people freaked out about Splash Mountain leaving, that they were like, actually, we have to make sure we nail this. And if that's the case, then I guess thanks to everybody who got upset, because we like, if this is what got it to where it is, I'm very happy with the current state of it, because could you imagine, like, I don't know why you would never want to put your best foot forward anyway, but if that rumor is true, it's like, you were going to replace one of the best known attractions with something very cheaply done. Like, I feel like you would want to nail it every time anyway, but then you realize like, oh, could you imagine if they did do that? Like, people would have really lost their mind. Even the people that were for it would be like, Tiana deserves better than this. What are we doing? Right? Like, there would have been so much more uproar. Like, people would have been like, oh, this is the ride you give your first African-American princess? Like, people would have lost it when it comes to if they had done this not right. But it looks like they're doing it way right. They're finally giving the U.S. side of stuff very good animatronics, like you mentioned, like all the good ones overseas have been getting recently. While I do like the projection faces, typically these are better, that like, I feel like at some point you're going to have to upgrade those rides to be like this, right? Like, I feel like that shouldn't be that difficult. Yeah, just replace the head on the animatronics that you have in Frozen Ever After. Dwarfs can still use them because like their beards blend the thing better. There's a seam that you see underneath Anna and Elsa.
The Frozen ones just look unsettling, and when the projections go wrong,
or if you use like the flash setting on your camera, it really makes them look weird.
Yeah, so I think it looks great. I'm very excited for this attraction to come through, and all of the stuff like they've been doing with like going by it and seeing like the queue and everything, even from where it looked like back in August when I last went.
Yeah.
It looks just so good. Like,
well, you see, I didn't even get a chance to walk past it again. Like, and if I did, it would have been nighttime. It would have not been great. Mm-hmm. And we were just so crushed on time that I didn't get a chance to do, like, I wanted to go there and like take pictures of it for our show so I could share like our actual own photos instead of finding other people's. And I wanted to look at Tron and do the same thing, but didn't have a chance. But that guy, Drew Disney, dude, he put stuff on Twitter and he put stuff on some of the message boards. He shared so many really good high quality photos this week. I think they're all on his Twitter if people want to go look for them, but this thing is going to look really, really cool. Like, there's, on like the Barnyard stuff, as you're in the queue, there's like these great murals celebrating Mardi Gras and, you know, Tiana and Louie and all these characters. I wish we would have seen more. They haven't really shown Naveen's animatronic yet. I'm hoping.
I think they did. Like, I thought they did. Like,
I think he's in a background of one, but I didn't see like a clear photo. I saw a clear photo of her friend,
of Lottie and Eudora.
Naveen's brother, right? He's the one on the drums.
Yep. I swear I remember seeing it. Like, maybe I'm completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's in the same scene with his brother Ralphie, right? I think it's probably towards the end, if I had to guess.
Yeah, it's probably where the zippity doo dah scene would be.
Right, yeah, the riverboat type thing. Yeah, that's my guess. I think it's going to look great. I saw some people saying like, oh, there's probably not going to be Dr. Facilier, and it's like, yeah, he's dead.
Like, yeah, that's forget? The bad thing about setting it afterwards.
But yeah.
They've been doing this a lot. They did it with Frozen. They did it. They're doing it here.
But then, like, also, how do you get, like, you know, the characters in a place where they're all, like, doing this without rehashing the entire movie, right?
That's the thing. A lot of people really want that. And I feel like we're past that point when it comes to attractions. Like, we had it with Pinocchio. We had it with Snow White. We had it with all these attractions in the Dark Ride 1.0 era, Alice in Wonderland, right? Like Peter Pan, all these rides that were originally churned out.
You're riding
like,
through as the
you
character.
You ride through the film. And now it feels like they're like, no, we want to tell a different story because it's going to, like, how would you even fit in Splash Mountain in the normal story when it comes to like, where do we put a big drop? Like, regardless of Splash Mountain's theme, the drop made sense of, we're doing throwing into the Briar Patch. What part of Princess and the Frog are you like, and then there's a big drop. You're like, what? Where are we going to fit this in at?
So, some people are like, say, like having the Facilier. Are you ready? Yeah. And it's like, but that's the beginning of the movie. Like that's.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the climax of, and you're supposed to come in and be happy afterwards, right? Because like the original Splash Mountain, it's Br'er Rabbit fooled them. Zippity-doo-dah, he got his way, and you only have like 2 minutes probably until you dock again, and it's like, okay.
And most of that is outside, like you don't see it. There's 1.5 show scenes left, you know, in there. So like, yeah, I feel like it. I'm glad, honestly, I'm glad that they're doing a new story because that's more entertaining. Right, like than trying to rehash it, because otherwise, like, it's like, oh yeah, riding through the movie, you actually get new things going on here, so that's way more intriguing.
You know what this made me think of though? You know how people complain about the MCU being too much homework? Try doing the Walt Disney animated canon, all right? Because now you have to go ride Frozen Ever After in Epcot. You have to get the sequel. You have to know what happened between Frozen and Frozen 2. You have to go ride the ride. After Princess and the Frog, you have to go ride Tiana's Bayou Adventure to get the full thing. Yeah. It's like people, you know, complaining about having to watch a Disney Plus series before you watch the Marvels or something. It's like, well, try riding a ride in the most expensive place on Earth before you have to watch the next film. Test Track, you mentioned, oh, actually, no, not Test Track yet. Disney, on their shareholder call, shared a concept art for the Pandora California attraction. Looks like this.
Looks pretty cool.
Not the best high quality photo I have here, but that's what it looks like here.
I mean, I'll say this much. It looks different than Pandora and Animal Kingdom, which, if they're going to do this, that is what I would like to see. Right. It needs to be different.
Yeah. Did you see the thing about people saying forced perspective of the first one? And I don't see this being the same area. I don't know what they were trying to hit at, but they were trying to say like the forced perspective of the first section in Animal Kingdom could use this as like, like that this is right over the, I don't know what they were trying to say, but people are like, oh yeah, good point. I'm like, no, this doesn't look anything like
what we see. This looks like it's going more for like the themes from the first or the second movie rather than the first movie.
I haven't seen either one, so I'll take your word.
Okay. Well, The second movie is called Avatar: The Way of Water.
And this is a water ride.
So, yeah. And it looks like an outdoor water ride, which could be really cool, you know? Some people think this is replacing, like, Grizzly River Run. I don't think so. I think this is for the Disneyland Forward stuff.
Yeah.
So
he mentioned Forward right after this. So
yeah, I have a feeling it's part of that. I wouldn't be worried at this point unless something gets announced. But based off of the language, I can't remember the account on Twitter that I saw did like a map overlay of like the Disneyland Forward plans and this, and like, yeah, this looks like it fits in with one of the plots shown on Disneyland Forward. So
I don't think I have a map of it on here anymore either, but I used to have, I used to have the Disneyland Forward like concept art where they did have a water ride, but it was Neverland. That could have changed. It could be this instead of Neverland. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely more popular property than Peter Pan Neverland at this point.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if it's different, right, as long as it's not rehashing the attractions.
Yes, I'm happy that it looks different.
Yeah, like the aesthetic looks completely different. But yeah, so I would be happy with something like this, you know? Give you a reason to go visit that Pandora over the other one. Unlike Galaxy's Edge, where if you go to one, there's not really a reason to go to the other. I guess except at Disneyland, you can meet cool characters, whereas Disney World stars.
Yeah, what the hell? They just announced the Bean as being added to Disneyland.
Yeah, so just, but giving reasons to like justifying it, I feel like. I think before, if it was just copying it, a lot of people would have been rightfully upset. But this looks different. And if it is, that makes it worthwhile doing. Because, I mean, Pandora's drawing like 2+ hour waits for both of the rides, like every day, pretty much. If they add that to California Adventure, especially, like that helps capacity in that park so much. But we'll see. I guess we'll see.
Test Track's closing June 17th. So last day to ride it is the 16th, and it will have a new look inspired by World of Motion. So they can get, I guess they'll get rid of that ugly tarp awning thing that they have above it right now.
Yeah. Like it looks really good, but I know that you don't like the new Test Track. And I understand that. And I know I'm not going to convince you that it's good.
Yeah,
because
never.
I know that's a losing battle. But I still enjoyed it for what it was. And I think I agree that creating the custom car can get old after a while. But for the first few times going on it, it was a novel idea that like really added something to it. But, you know, riding on it this past time, the boards that show the score for the car rarely work.
Yeah, like, that's what I've noticed too. Every time I rode it,
and it still provides a lot of the thrills that the original one did. You know, the launch, going outside, going 65 miles per hour, with you know the wind going in your face, is still there. But you know, it's funny because I was thinking about it. This new version of Test Track debuted in 2012.
Yeah,
and the old Test Track opened in 1999 and closed in 2010, 2011. Right. So that lasted for 12 years. It's been 12 years, right? I guess it's time for an update to it.
So in 2036, we'll have to redo it again.
Although Figment's been suffering for 24 years and could probably use an update, you know, double the time for Figment. Maybe it'll be triple by the time we get to, because if they're closing Test Track, they're not going to close another ride to refurb Test Track's down. So I feel like this is the one thing that's going to be changed for probably a year in Epcot, because with the capacity, they can't afford to close down something else.
And we knew they had Spaceship Earth plans that got put on delay indefinitely.
All I want for that is just a tune up of the animatronics. Like I like the story still. Just tune up the animatronics, get some of that fixed, get them moving a little bit smoother, And I think it's still a great attraction as is. But some of the animatronics are just a little rough, and maybe, you know, fix the future thing, your future.
Oh yeah. That thing sucks now. My wife's face looked like ditto. It was just like,
yeah.
it only showed like this much, but it didn't actually show like the right.
With facial recognition and machine learning and AI technology that currently exists, we can do better. And it probably like,
yeah, scare us a bit, scare us about technology a bit on what it can do.
Yeah. There's definitely that possibility, but, Test Track. Yeah. The retheme does look good. I'll give them that. Like,
what I think they're going to lean into the electric vehicle stuff is probably what they'll lean into here.
The concept art looks good. And it looks like you're driving. It doesn't look like you're driving through virtual environments anymore from the concept art, which
good.
I think is good, you know. But I am a little sad because I do like the custom car concept.
Bring back the old intro. Do the John Michael Higgins intro where you're like, oh, yeah, give him
I have a feeling it's going to be about, like, learning about electric vehicles and everything like that, like you said, like not about like being a test dummy or something like that, right? Which I think fits better with like the edutainment theme of Epcot, if that's what people are wanting, right? So we'll see. I'm sure we'll get a ton more information about this and probably about the Avatar stuff and probably Tiana's if it's not already open by D23, but it should be.
It's summer. It should be.
Hopefully.
Something went really wrong, if not.
Yeah.
Okay, so permits were filed or will be filed for Beyond Big Thunder. So I want everybody to just know that the latest rumor, this is what it looked like before, the latest rumors, of course, say that it's probably neither of these things. Maybe villain still, I don't know, but Encanto and Coco are going to feature in Animal Kingdom now, so
which we know for a fact.
Yes, I think those are off the board.
Yeah,
those are off the board. I don't think they're putting them in two places. So, in my opinion, I would love if they just do villains. Mm-hmm. Just all right, do the whole thing as villains. Then they're encroaching on the Magic Kingdom. I don't know. You can probably come up with better story ideas than I can. You're Imagineers, but. I also had rumors that it is an IP that makes no sense for Magic Kingdom, which some people are a little bit more strict on that meaning than I am. So I guess your mileage may vary on that, but I really wonder like what would be so out of place that it doesn't make sense. It was ruled out that it is not Cars. Cars is not coming to Beyond Big Thunder. But so I guess we'll see. I do expect if permits are starting on this and the Animal Kingdom stuff, this is going to be the D23 announcements, I would think. And people have been hinting that it is a big year for D23 and that they do believe this stuff would be announced.
Yeah. And so then the question is, what's coming for Hollywood Studios? And there's been a rumor.
Yeah.
There's been a rumor. We won't talk too much about that because like there's literally like no concrete evidence really for it, I feel like. But the rumor is just behind Star Wars launch bay. Like there's space back there.
I've been on these message boards for going on probably 13 years or longer. Whenever they first announced New Fantasyland.
Yeah, so 13, 14 a while. Years, yeah.
And there are a few people on the message boards I go onto that get this stuff right. I don't want to say 100% time because the thing is they did have this stuff right, but then changes happen and there's, you know, been proof that the changes happen. But so I do feel very safe about the Hollywood thing, but they haven't been able to say what it would be. And the thing is, Disney is famous for cutting budget and cutting this stuff that it could be something that just goes by the wayside at a certain point. So, you know, hey, look, maybe something's coming, maybe not. The rumor would be kind of like an expansion, not taking rid of anything except for maybe Launch Bay, which is not a big loss. So that would be ideal, I think, of, okay, as long as you're not replacing something to just put something else there, let's expand in some of these expansion pads you have, increase capacity instead of just replacing something and losing capacity at times.
Yeah. What I would love is, since it's an animation courtyard, you know, it would be fantastic if they brought back the Roger Rabbit ideas that they had when Hollywood Studios was first coming around. You know, that would be
fantastic. I'm a big Roger Rabbit fan.
I know there's still probably some ownership issues on like who owns Roger Rabbit, you know.
I don't know. They make all the merch of, like, they make all the merch of
that
them.
Is true. So,
and
maybe
it's in the plate. It's in, like, there's billboards of them, there's all kinds of stuff.
So maybe
they have the ride in Disneyland too. So
I would love to see it happen. I also, if my most unreasonable wish would be for them to resurrect the Great Movie Ride right there and make it like a ride through of like Disney animated movies and stuff, since it's an animation courtyard, you know, make the queue going through like an animation studio and like all of that. I think that could be cool.
You know what my original idea when I heard a Mickey Mouse attraction in Great Movie Ride was? It was Mickey, like you going through Mickey's history, almost like a Great Mickey ride.
Oh yeah,
of like, cool. You know, starting Mickey in the ride. Black and white, and then going into like, you see Fantasia. You got like this great animatronic of him as like Fantasia, Mickey Mouse, you know, Sorcerer Mickey, and you can do all that kind of stuff with, you know, give Mickey his due that way. I do like Runaway Railway, but I felt like that would be a more timeless ride than like basing it off 2013 Mickey Mouse shorts. Right. Mm-hmm. Which they've already stopped producing. So it's kind of like, you know, we'll see how long this one stays themed like that. Where was I going with this? Oh, Disney also shared video and model of Encanto at Animal Kingdom. It was like this Instagram reel where it showed kind of like the Encanto house being like on a raised platform and stuff like that. It's just kind of saying that they went to
Yucatan in Mexico. Yeah. And I mean, hey, it looks like it'll probably be like a dark ride. I think a lot.
I hope so. I think if I was them, I would be using the same tech as like Runaway Railway, where you're going through.
Trackless. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going through and you get like, you go into a different door. Right, you end up
I think go into Antonio's room and explore the animals of South America. That's I think that's the perfect way to do it, and that's the way to link this to Animal Kingdom. You know, you're still talking about animals and linking in a very popular Disney movie in an area that would make sense for it, and also that adds a lot of capacity because we saw that it's probably going to be like a Coco carousel. Is that spinner attraction?
People said that's going to actually go where the Boneyard is, but I think it would make more sense if it's where Triceratops spin.
Yeah.
But because then I don't know what you do with the Boneyard. Maybe nothing. Yeah. But
I mean, hey, if Indiana Jones is replacing Dinosaur, it's the Indiana Jones Academy.
Is it so much more further away from Indy than it would be right next to the carousel? So.
Or like it's the Henry Jones like dig site or something like that or something.
It's a dig site based off Coco, and all of the family relatives are there, and you're you gotta find the guitar, and you gotta find.
Oh god! I think there's way. I'm not sure if they'll actually bring the Boneyard into it or any kind of like. Because those playgrounds
have capacity for kids, though. Like, you know, you don't have a ride wait. It's just like run in there, do your thing. But it's kind of fallen by the wayside with like they used to have that over in Hollywood with the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids stuff.
Yeah.
That's gone.
They had it in Toontown, right? They had it in Toontown Fair. They had like some playground type stuff. Yeah. I mean, I was like really a really little kid when that was built. So like I remember there being like some playground type stuff. Donald's boat was like basically a playground.
Yes. Yeah. It was like a water thing.
So I remember a lot of that. But yeah, I think, you know, you're going to see, I think it'll be pure capacity increasing, right? Because, you know, Primeval World is closed, right?
Yeah, that so, did have very good capacity though, apparently, because of the two tracks.
Really?
Because they had the two tracks.
I always thought it was really bad because you just had the four people that could get in at a time, and like, but I could be wrong. And
it's
been
a short
while
ride
since
too.
It existed. Yeah, but
I mean, I'm sure they could increase it with this ride for sure. I'm sure that if this is a trackless ride that can have good capacity, then yeah, I think that would be probably a really. I mean, look, imagine the animatronics for this if they do animatronics, right? Like,
right.
That's what I wonder. This is what I wanted to mention when we talked about, we call it Imagineering. They released their first episode focused on the Tiana stuff. Mm. How many episodes do you think we're getting, and like, what else are they going to show us? Because I think they'd just be, all right, now on this, we're going to show you this Tiana thing. I feel like it's going to be like some different stuff.
I wonder if part of it, since we saw like this, like very intricate 3D model of like planning out all of this Dinoland re-theme, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if
one
of it is going, yeah, because that could be pretty cool. But I have a feeling it's going to go over a lot of different elements, like storyboarding type stuff, maybe.
Oh, that'd be cool too.
Yeah. Maybe they'll show some limited storyboarding of like the test track re-theme or something like that. Like that could be kind of cool.
I had a friend that used to like intern at Imagineering and worked there for a bit. And on the Florida side of it, he wasn't ever at like the Blue Sky facility, but he's now working at Universal doing stuff there. So I think that's really cool. But yeah. I never approached him to be like, hey, tell me what's going on so I can share it on my podcast, you know, because like,
yeah, feels like that might be in violation of some contracts.
Yes. Yeah. Never did that. he never told me anything. So I respected his work.
I think, you know, but I do think it is pure capacity increasing based off of what we have now.
Yeah.
Because if you have an Indiana Jones re-theme, which we assume is going to use same ride vehicles, probably similar track at the very least to Dinosaur, that's not going to change capacity.
Yeah.
You've got a spinner attraction, which isn't going to change capacity.
I think it will.
Really,
I think if it's a carousel, that can fit more people than like a Dumbo spinner.
I think it all depends, but like, I think like that area of Dinorama is going to be like pure capacity increasing, like, which is really what Animal Kingdom needs at this point in time.
Yeah. I guess you could say it is kind of a loss though, because the games could take some of that capacity away.
But
when you had Primeval World and you also had the games, you had like a good disbursement of people in the area. Like when I worked there, man, it would be busy.
But since Primeval World's gone, right? Since Primeval World's gone, there's not really a huge reason to go there, right? Like, except for Dinosaur, because Triceratops Spin is.
So I mean, like, it's a gain now, but is it a gain from like peak Dino Land? That's what I will.
I think it still will be. I do, because you know, I really think it will. But
it depends.
I guess time will tell. Yeah, time will tell with that one. But I think it could be.
Disney settled their lawsuit with Florida. So people spun that as a loss for Disney. Some people spun it as a loss for Florida, but it's a settlement.
The reality is it was political theater. It was political theater, as it always was. That's what it always was. And yeah, so.
And you know why they had to do that? That they have to get ready to move on a lot of this stuff, right? Like they probably wanted to settle that stuff before they worry about making all these new attractions. So at least that's out of the way.
So I feel like it's no coincidence that as soon as that settlement happened, they announced the test track re-theme. They had all this massive concept art for the Dinoland re-theme. They shared, that's for California, but like, you know, the permits being filed for Beyond Big Thunder.
There you go.
I feel like it's no coincidence that this all happened after that and after the election, you know, like lots of things clearing up, but yeah, it was political theater. Like, that's it.
Yep. We neglected to mention it last time, but guess what? It still hasn't opened yet. 1900 Park Fair is opening April 10th with some new characters. I'm already going to tell you, I'm not a fan of these. Not a fan of these. Aladdin and his Prince Ali look. Look, great that we're seeing Aladdin in that look, because that is sometimes his look, sometimes it's not his look. I guess it's more appropriate than his street rat stuff if he's going to be in 1900 Park Fair.
Yeah.
Though he could have went around acting like he's stealing stuff. That could have been wrong. But
can you imagine just you're eating and Aladdin steals your
loaf
plate
of bread?
Yeah, like jumps out a window, you know, just like, huh? What was
I would pay good money for that.
That would make the buffet cost worth it. Yeah.
But I don't think he fits with the theme of 1900 Park Fair. I think you can make an argument for Tiana because it's like around that. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like 1900 Park Fair was like 1800s, but like 1880, 1890 is kind of what I was thinking. Or I guess 1900. Look, it's weird. She's going to be in her Bayou Adventure outfit. I feel like it would make more sense for her princess outfit for Park Fair, but whatever. And then Cinderella and Maribel from Encanto.
Yeah. Cinderella was there before, which also I would say for 1900 Park Fair, I don't think Cinderella and
she was
like,
only there for dinner, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that made a ton of sense realistically, like timeline wise. I mean, sure, like the like Alice in Wonderland characters made
that stuff
little...
made a lot of sense. Winnie the Pooh, it was Pooh, right?
Was it? No, it was Mary Poppins. And...
Pop, yeah, it was just pop. It was like all the English, British,
yeah,
which story,
kind,
which made sense.
Kind of makes sense. I feel like it's still like. I don't know. I feel like that's still like mid 1900s, or like, and not quite, I guess. I don't know. When I think like Grand Floridian, though, I don't really think of like British, I guess, if that makes sense.
I do. Maybe because I just think of like stuffy royal.
Fair enough. Like Victorian architecture.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Very sure, Victorian sure. stories. Yeah. It's kind of what.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, yeah. I think it's
like
kind of
Jane
cool
Austen would fit in here.
Disney acquires
Jane Austen.
Yeah, that's what it was meant for. That's the next big step. What's Disney's response to Epic Universe? There you go.
They got the rights to the Emily Dickinson show starring Kate Bishop.
Like,
what's her name?
I'm totally blanking on her.
Haley Steinfeld. She was on that.
Haley Steinfeld. Yeah, there you go. I mean, you got the character right, but yeah, I don't know. 1900 Park Fair was never like my family's favorite buffet place. It was never my favorite buffet place. I'm probably not going to go there. I'm going to be completely honest. But
the Mirabelle is tempting, even though she's meeting over in Merida's old spot now.
Yeah. I mean, new characters to meet. It'll be a good place for like a lot of people who want to meet those characters, but maybe don't want to like go into the parks for it, you know. That's kind of good. So I guess it fills a niche.
Yeah, just a weird list of characters. I want to complain real quick too. I went to Epcot. I was like, oh, maybe I'll meet Figment. He was already done meeting at 3:30. That was it.
3:30.
He had two sets of meeting. He had meeting at morning time to like 1:30, and then no meeting time to like noon, and then it was like 1:30 to 3:30 or something. That was it.
Weird.
I got over there at like 4 o'clock, and I'm like, all right, I can't meet Figment. What is up with the characters? Like, why is he being held up as like a Mickey and Minnie were meeting all night? I can meet them at every park. Like, don't no, let me meet Figment, man.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Imagination, I think, is the one pavilion I did not enter at all in Epcot. So.
I didn't go in it. I looked at the app.
Oh, okay. Because why would you go and ride that version of Figment at this point? Just...
Yeah, well, I mean, I do sometimes, but...
When you're pressed for time, no.
Country Bear started their refurb like a little bit ago. That's supposed to open this summer.
They have some signage on the front indicating that. So.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, they had some stuff saying we're getting ready for this new show or whatever. I know there was a bear pun on it. I can't remember what it was.
We can barely
remember. It might have been. I remember there was. It wasn't Bear Down for midterms.
Best bear one, yeah.
But I remember there was a bear pun on there, indicating like that. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
That's an upgrade, right? You go into Country Bears and you have like Chang in there, and he's just like Bear Down for midterms.
Yeah, just get Ken John to perform every day there. Yeah.
What else is he doing right now? Okay. Rumored Frontierland Arcade is to shut down for a DVC lounge.
Kind of based. I like it. I kind of like it.
The downside to this, I like it's a DVC lounge. Downside of that is that it's a DVC lounge. So you're taking away something that everybody had access to, and it's been free since COVID, I think. And
the arcade?
Yeah. That people say it was free like the last time they went.
I tried to do it in August and it was paid. So
really? Okay. So maybe they remade it paid again.
So yeah, I mean, unless I was just wrong and like just got lied to, I don't know. but
you know, I'm pretty sure. It's going to look, obviously, I think they said that when Imagineers or management went around, they kind of did like this thing of what's the word I'm thinking of here? What is problematic nowadays?
Yeah.
That was one of the ones because it's guns and,
which kind of fair.
Yeah. Kinda yeah. Fair. I guess it is Frontierland though. Right. But, yeah. It is what it is at this point. I didn't really do it ever except for when I was a kid. So it's not a big loss for me, but I do just think it kind of sucks to lose something that everyone had access to give it to people that were literally that are DVC members. DVC Lounge was not being used. It was like storage space that they converted to it.
I do think it is kind of nice though, because Magic Kingdom is a park that could greatly benefit from something like that. I mean, yes, it's only for DVC members.
Wonder how popular it'll be.
It probably will be pretty popular, I feel like, because Magic Kingdom is a massive park. And so like having a place where you could potentially just like, you know, put your feet up in the middle of the day, rest, maybe get some like, you know, drinks from a Coke Freestyle machine, a little snack, right? I think that could be good, right? I feel like Hollywood Studios doesn't quite need one yet. Animal Kingdom definitely doesn't need one as of right now. But like Magic Kingdom, yeah, I think it could definitely use a lounge like that. So could be kind of cool.
All right, and I think that was all of the news. So I know you have a game for us today.
Trivia. Yeah. Do you want to read the title on there that we've got?
Yeah, time for a quiz.
Time in quotation marks, because this is about the times it takes to ride all of the rides, the ride durations. I found this data from wdwinfo.com and carouselofchaos.com. So consulted two
excellent sources.
Yep, excellent sources. I trust them with my life. so I've got five questions here. One of them is a bonus question. And that one is literally a 50-50. So you'll see what I mean here. But these are all questions about the ride durations at various different things about the ride. So are you ready? Are you ready to go? How well do you think your sense of like relative time is on some of these attractions?
I don't know. I just watched Interstellar last night for the first time, and I'm really questioning relative time.
Well, this might be some bad timing then for you, but we'll see. I'm starting off with a pretty easy one, I feel like.
Okay.
I think you're going to get this one quite easily. What is the shortest ride in duration at Magic Kingdom?
Ooh, I'm thinking now it would be Tron, but I was saying Mine Train before.
What one do you think it is?
I think Tron nowadays.
You are correct. It is Tron, but actually tied with the Barnstormer.
Oh, so right, both, right. Barnstormer.
Yeah, they're both about a minute long. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I believe, is just around 2 minutes long. So a little a little bit longer. Not too much longer. I don't have every one of them listed on my sheet of paper here, but it's just a little bit longer than that. So next one we've got here. What is the longest ride duration at Disney World? Not show. So I want to make a distinction there. Not show. What ride out of all four parks has the longest duration?
Out of all four.
And I can give you I can give you some hints. I feel like a lot of them will give them away. I can give you like the a time range as to like how long it is.
Yeah, give me the time range.
It's between 15 and 20 minutes long.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's and there's two other ones that I wouldn't count. One of them I would maybe count as a ride, and one of them that I don't quite count as a ride. But you know, I on a technicality, I would give it to you as well. But
yeah, so I mean, like, are you counting Filler Magic as one of these?
No, that's a show, not a ride, right?
Oh, so I'm leaning between. Cali River Rapids is pretty long, right? And I would say, Safari's probably pretty long. Living with the Land is pretty long. Carousel Progress is pretty long. You're counting that as a ride because it moves?
I mean, it does move. That is true.
I feel like I'm going to have to go with Carousel Progress.
I'll give it to you. I originally counted it as a show when I went through it.
Okay.
But it is the longest with like moving elements, right? So it's 20 minutes and 45 seconds. The longest like traditional ride like would technically be the Disney World Railroad. But I'm not sure if that one's more of a technicality. The longest like true ride experience I would count is Safari's at 18 minutes and 30 seconds.
So I mentioned two of those. So that's good.
Yeah.
Railroad, I wasn't thinking because I think of transportation because you can get off. Right. Like that's
exactly like issue. That's why I was like, it technically, yes, it is a ride. So if he says that, I'll give it to him. But and also you are way off on Cali River Rapids because that is 3 minutes and 30 seconds long.
Is it really? I thought it was long.
It is. It's really only 3.5 minutes long.
It feels long.
That's
where the relativity.
Right. Yeah. So now we're going over to shows. What Walt Disney World show has the longest duration? And I will give you there. So like there's one that I'm skeptical on the time that was given on this. That is technically the correct answer, but there's also like three that are tied for second, according to this, that I would give you any of them.
Okay. So shows. All right. So the first shows that leap out to me are Stunt Show, Fantasmic you're including, right?
Fantasmic, I'm looking at my list right here. Fantasmic did not have a time given for it. So
okay, because I was going to say that's a long one because it's like a nighttime show. So,
right.
Okay, so we're excluding Fantasmic.
Yes.
So we have like Stunt Show, Monsters, Inc., I guess, is considered one.
Monsters, Inc. is considered a show.
So we're not counting Carousel at this point, right?
Carousel Progress is a show. But I will tell you right now that that's not that's not the answer because it was already kind of an answer. So
we have Filler Magic. Finding Nemo. is probably one of these. That feels long. That show went, I think, 30 minutes. What other shows do we got here? We got like the one-off shows that are like The Bird Show. We've got Tough to Be a Bug. Are you counting like the stage shows on like
yes.
the castle stage?
No, not that one.
But like Beauty and the Beast counts.
Beauty and the Beast counts, you know, yeah, that does. I can give you a time range on this one for the like technical correct answer.
Yeah, I think I need the time range.
Okay, 31 to 35 minutes.
Oh, there we go. My screen froze for a second. Okay.
Did you hear the hint? Or
yeah, 31 to 35, you said?
Yep. So longer than 30 minutes, but shorter than 35. I had to confirm this by looking up YouTube video of the show to confirm that was correct. Yeah. Because like I said, this list listed it as something that I did not believe, and I was correct to not believe it. But
okay.
I'll say that on this list, it listed it as over an hour, or approximately an hour. Sorry, approximately an hour, which I was skeptical about and was right to be skeptical about.
Okay, I guess I'm going to go with, I know Festival of the Lion King's not that long, right? Okay, so I'm narrowing it down to Lion King, Nemo, Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
And I guess I'll go with Festival.
I'm going to give it to you just because I couldn't, like, the time for the other one is a little bit weird, like the top one. So the one that it said it's approximately an hour for is the Frozen Saint-Alan Celebration, which when I looked up a YouTube video of it was 32 minutes long. So, but I feel like since it's so, it does depend on the actual actors because the hosts actually differ in how long they take, and there's been multiple iterations of it that were.
Oh wow!
So, Festival of the Lion King is one of those that is tied for second. So I'll give it to you. You did mention two of the other ones, which are actually you mentioned all of them at one point. All four actually that are tied, which are the Stunt Spectacular, Beauty and the Beast, Festival of the Lion King, and the Finding Nemo show. Nice. All of those are tied at 30 minutes. So. Yeah, I'll give you the point on that just because the Frozen one just I can't in good conscience deny you that.
I thought of that show and I was going to narrow it down to that in those four, but I haven't seen it. So I actually had no clue how long it is or anything.
I've seen it too many times. I'll tell you that much.
So it feels like an hour as well.
It probably does. Like but So this one I'm adding on the fly because I think it's an interesting one. There's quite a few boat rides in Magic Kingdom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your Pirates of the Caribbean. You've got It's a Small World. You've got Jungle Cruise. And I don't think I'm missing any other major boat rides there. Can you rank those three attractions from longest duration to shortest? So looking at Pirates, Small World, and Jungle Cruise.
Okay, my instinct says from longest to shortest or shortest to longest?
Longest to shortest.
All right, my instinct would say Jungle, Pirates, Small World.
Can you say that one more time?
Jungle, longest, Pirates, next longest, Small World, shortest.
Unfortunately, that is 0 for 3.
Damn.
You got none of them in the correct position. Actually, Small World is the longest. It is 10 and a half minutes long.
See, I thought that was just a relativity thing there. I was it just feels long.
No, it's the longest of three. Jungle Cruise is next at 9 minutes and 5 seconds. And then to round it out, you have Pirates of the Caribbean at 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
But you see, I was technically correct with Jungle being above Pirates.
Yes, you did get
that. I had that points. Order right.
You had Small World completely wrong, though.
Yes.
You're probably going to have to ride that a lot more often. Because you need to subject your kid to It's a Small World.
I don't mind Small World. I do it.
I would. Fun fact: I used to be terrified of the hippo on It's a Small World and thought it was going to eat my Mickey ears.
How about the hippo on Jungle Cruise?
I wasn't scared of that.
That one was fine.
Yeah, no, the hippo that was winking, that was the line for me.
I don't even know if it's winking. I think it's like a lazy eye, depending on how well the animatronic's holding up.
Yeah, that was in 2003, so a little bit better. It had just undergone a refurbishment.
There you go.
Okay, so this one is a tough one. I'll tell you that. What park? So I totaled up all of the durations for all the shows, all of the rides as listed on here, and averaged them. So divided them by the number of rides and attractions in each park. Lots of math here. Which can you rank the four parks in the for the longest average ride duration? And what I'll do for this is if you're one off, I'll give you a point. If you get it directly on, you get 2 points. Okay. If you're more than one off, then you get none. So I'm just setting up my board here to make sure I get it right. There we go.
Okay. I'm going to go Magic 1.
Which one first?
Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
This is longest to shortest again?
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you the range of times, by the way? Of like what the longest one is?
Yeah, sure.
Like that. The longest average is 12 minutes and 47 seconds, and the shortest is 7 minutes and 19 seconds.
Okay. So I will go with, I'll stick with Magic as one. I'll go, this is where it gets difficult for me, because I feel like Epcot has a lot of long attractions, and so does Animal Kingdom. So I'm going
to
go.
I do want to remind you, think about shows as well, right? Like
there's a lot of shows in Epcot, and there's a lot of shows in Animal Kingdom. That's why I'm leaning towards. I'll go Epcot, Animal, Hollywood.
So out of a possible 8 points with the scale, you got 4. You got exactly half.
Damn, 50%.
Do you want to guess which ones you got wrong?
I think Magic's wrong now.
You swapped Hollywood and Magic.
Really? Magic is the shortest?
Magic is the shortest. I'll give you the numbers here. Magic Kingdom was the average with 7 minutes and 19 seconds. They have a lot of attractions, but a lot of them are shorter because those spinner rides are about a minute long each.
Right.
So they have a lot of those. But pretty short. They've got Tron. They've got the Barnstormer. Their longest attraction, by the way, is the Hall of Presidents at 20 minutes. So not super long. Like a lot of their shows tend to be around 10 minutes or so. And then you've got Epcot correct, which is 11 minutes and 52 seconds. Lots of long shows. You know, all the World Showcase movies, O Canada, all that, right? Animal Kingdom is in third. 11 minutes and 40 seconds average.
Nice.
Again, not a lot of attractions, but a lot of shows that
and Safari's long.
Safari's, right?
Those long ones.
Yeah, their shortest attraction is Triceratops Spin, which is a minute and a half long. So pretty long for the shortest, I guess you could say. And then in first place is Hollywood Studios.
How?
12 minutes and 47 seconds because all of the shows. You've got Beauty and the Beast, which is 30 minutes.
Frozen, I forgot about that.
Frozen, which is 30-ish. Indiana Jones, which is 30. You've got Muppet Vision 3D, which is 17. You've got Disney Junior live on stage, which is 20. You've got Voyage of the Little Mermaid, which I didn't count, by the way, but it's listed as 15. Because
it's not open yet.
It's not opening. And also, Rise of the Resistance is listed as 18 minutes. Because
of the pre-show going from, part?
Yep. So... yeah, a lot of really long shows. And they've got some shorter stuff too. Rock and Roller Coaster at a minute and 22 seconds. But a lot of really long rides or attractions. So, I mean, still pretty good. So you're at like three or 2.5 out of 4, I think. Or 2.5 out of 5? Sure. I'm just converting the 4 out of 8 to a point total here. So bonus question here. This is a 50-50, right? I've talked about this. So assuming – it's kind of a word problem. Assuming that the parks were open from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., so 15 hours. I did the math right there, yep. And factoring in 3 hours, including transportation, food, and walking time. So 3 hours for all of that between the parks. And assuming zero wait time for everything. You could just walk straight on. Would you be able to, according to this data, get on every attraction and ride it in the same day? So basically, could you do all of these in 12 hours? Could you do every attraction at Disney World in 12 hours?
That's tough. So you just mentioned Hollywood had like 5 half hour attractions, and at that point you're looking at like an hour and a half. And then you're looking at I'm gonna take the shot and say yes.
You are correct. Barely.
All right.
It is the total duration to do every attraction according to these data sources is 11 hours and 54 minutes. So if you had 12 hours and no wait time, you would just barely be able to. You would be so tired by the end of it. But I guess you'd be sitting through a lot of shows. But
yeah,
Hollywood, by the way,
get naps in.
After those shows, a lot of the rides are a lot shorter because you've got Alien Swirling Saucers, which is a minute and a half.
Blinky.
You've got, Slinky Dog, which is 2. Rock and Roller Coaster, a minute and 22 seconds. Tower of Terror, which is 5. Toy Story,
Star Mania, Tours?
Which is 8. Star Tours is 5. So, like, a lot. So, the total times for each park to do everything, assuming no wait times, right? Magic Kingdom, 3 hours and 25 minutes. You've got Epcot with 3 hours and 10 minutes. Hollywood with 2 hours and 59 minutes. Most of that is taken up by 4 shows. And then Animal Kingdom, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Okay.
So you could just barely do it. So that with that, 3.5 out of 5. I think that's a pretty respectable score given, you know, it relies on relative time. And you don't really think about how long these rides are when you're actually on them. Right? Like you said, you thought Cali River Rapids was one of the longest and it's, you know, below average for an attraction length at Animal Kingdom. So I think it's, I think it's interesting to think about these things, you know, it's wild to think with as much as there is at Disney World, you could theoretically do it if you were like the only person in the parks.
If you were day. Walt Disney and you said, I've got all the time in the world. You are one of the ghosts on the Haunted Mansion, you can do whatever you want.
Or let's say you're a billionaire and you rented out all of the parks
in one day.
Yeah, you could get on every single attraction in 12 hours.
Well, it's a good thing I just won the lottery. And this is our announcement here that we are buying out the park.
For one day only.
For one day. It took our full lottery winnings to pay for that, but it's worth it.
Yeah, so I hope that was enjoyable, you know, a little bit of a different take on it.
Yeah, different type of quiz.
Yeah. lots of surprises for me personally as well. Like the laugh floor, for example, is only 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
Didn't think that was the case. And all of the spinner attractions, by the way, if you thought they were the exact same, you're exactly correct, because they all take a minute and 30 seconds to ride. There is fundamentally no difference between them. So I'm using this again to push my propaganda that the spinner rides are pointless.
They're people eaters, though. They usually have good lines.
I know. They are people eaters. But
I'd be putting spinners everywhere. Like when I play Roller Coaster Tycoon, I'm like, spinner here, spinner there.
They're all the same. The illusion of choice. Oh. Siri was not happy with my rant. I'm sorry. Yes. My bad. Yep. Disney was listening to me talk about the spinners.
They're like, Siri, make them cut it out. All right, that wraps up the show today. Longer than I anticipated. But, you know, once you get going on some of this stuff, it's hard to, like, not hard to stop. And I feel like
there was a lot of news, you know?
Yeah, for how closely we had just recorded, there was a lot of news, which is good.
Hopefully we'll get some more soon, you know? I'm hopeful with the speed that they just announced all this. Who knows what'll happen?
Yeah, we'll get more stuff too. Like, I'm assuming people were very upset that the shareholder call didn't announce stuff, but really, like, that's not what the shareholder call's for. It's just not. Right. Like, and they never announce big stuff on there. They save that stuff for D23, and that's how it should be, because that's how you can – more people will see it, more people will hear it. There'll be a live stream. The investor call is literally for investors. Like, you can find your way on to listen to it, but – like when I had shares of the company and I was trying my hostile takeover, I had Robinhood app and I was listening through there. It'd be like, hey, you listen to the shareholder call.
The hostile takeover with what, like 5 shares of Disney?
One share.
One share. Guys, listen, I know I have one share, but trust me.
I used to work there, all right? I know what it's like. I've been in there. I'm the new CEO.
Might have gotten more votes than Peltz, honestly. You might
probably
have,
could.
Yeah, probably. Like,
I would not have pulled the woke card, so I feel like I could have got a few more.
Yep, maybe.
All right. You can follow us at on Twitter at BT Disney Podcast. I don't really tweet there that much, but sometimes I do. Facebook.com/BehindTheDreamsPodcast, Instagram at BehindTheDreamsPodcast, where you can email us, BehindTheDreamsPodcast@gmail.com.
And TikTok, you know.
And TikTok, ban it.
Yeah. I'm hoping to resurrect that a little bit. Otherwise, after that, I guess we're going to Instagram Reels, because why not?
Yes, or whatever takes place after TikTok.
Or whatever. TikTok. Yep.
Andrew Garfield. All right. Thank you all for watching and listening. We will catch you next time.